Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Yay, welcome. It's a Joe Kane Sunday in Mobile. It's, you know, and it should be an honor about the start of spring, but you're hearing about this thing, right? You're hearing about this thing that's coming in off the continent. It's coming in very fast. It's a nice, loud, I should say, because of the newscast, cold weather pattern that's going to be coming in probably tonight after these storms clear. And will that rearrange your spring? That's the question. Are you going to have to rearrange your spring? Well, that's what we're here to address this morning. We're here to think about it, how to address this cold spell. It's something you got to think about. Even on Joe Kane Day, you know, it's going to be raining hard this afternoon. Not a great time to be out sloshing around downtown. I've seen folks do it. You get cold. Ooh, it's cold downtown when it rains like this coming in on Joe Kane Day. It'll be nice this morning, but it's going to be raining hard. It may be a good time to come in and think about what it is that you've got to do to get ready for this coming week, because it's going to be a lot colder. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, how to think about your spring, how not to have to rearrange it. We talked a little while back over the past several Sundays about when was the right time to plant. And the weather looked good. The temperatures were right. The ground temperatures were right for putting tomatoes in. If you were right around Mobile, if you were in Mobile or Fairhope or even in West Mobile, maybe a little early for citronelle, a little early for citronelle as we move up north, a little early for the interior parts of Mississippi and Alabama. But it was about time to plant tomatoes. But I warned, I said, if you'll remember, I said, look, guys, as these springs come earlier, the chances that there will be a late, what will seem to be a late frost, are going to increase. You know, this frost is coming in at about the time that we always have the threat of a frost this time of year. It's been like this for as far back as I can remember, for a couple or three decades. We always get these cold spells coming in the 1st of March. The damage they do depends a lot on when you think spring starts and how you reacted to it and when you put your tomatoes out. Everything was ripe. Everything was right for putting those tomatoes out. But, you know, we couldn't see. There it is. Boom. You got to be prepared. It's easy. So here's what I'm seeing. Here's what I'm seeing for your garden. Most everything's going to be fine. The temperature forecasts are all over the place. They're all over the place right now. And I don't know which forecast to trust. There is some I've seen forecasts that indicate that Mobile downtown will be colder than Evergreen. I find that hard to believe. But, you know, we'll wait it out. We'll see how this thing goes. I think that it's really hard to judge what's going to happen Tuesday morning. That's going to be the big morning. That's when the coldest of the temperatures supposedly come in right now. How cold is that going to be? I think in West Mobile, you definitely need to plan for a freeze. I mean, I'm almost certain it's going to happen, that we're going to have a freeze in West Mobile. Around the airport, in those areas where it's considerably cooler, I could anticipate something very close to a freeze. It's possible, and it's possible we may see as the temperature changes. We've got some new forecast models that tend to overstate cold a couple of days out. But it's possible that we could have a freeze in downtown and in Midtown, and a freeze in Fairhope too. And by Fairhope, I mean near the waterfront in Fairhope. Certainly out by the Walmart in Fairhope, boy, out there it's going to be a lot colder. probably a much greater chance of freeze there. So what do? You got your tomatoes in the ground. Is this the end of it? Well, no, by no means. Let's talk about what you've got planted already. Billy Bob, no, your sugar snaps, they're going to be just fine. Sugar snaps are going to be just fine. They'll take this cold. They'll love this cold. They'll appreciate this cold. They love it. Sugar snaps are going to be fine. Your green peas are going to be fine. Broccoli, cauliflower, all that, all those greens, all those things that have survived the winter just fine, of course, they're going to be fine. They're not a problem at all. Your carrots, your beets, all those things are going to be just fine. What will be a problem are things like tomatoes and peppers, the things that you will be harvesting in May and June that really don't like cold weather. Corn could be, it could be an issue for corn. It could be an issue for corn. It'll be an issue for squash. You see what I'm saying? These are the things we harvest. We tend to harvest in May and June and July. Those are going to have problems, and those are the things we have to worry about, those vegetables in the garden. Here, there's some simple ways of dealing with this. So don't panic. It's not a problem. For most of you, you're going to find that simply putting a box over your tomatoes, find a box. Go find some boxes now. Just put a box over the tomatoes. If you want a little extra protection, put a blanket over it. Do this, listen to me, do this just before the coldest morning. So let that ground heat up during the day. And I think there's be plenty of opportunity for the ground to heat up during the day. We should have plenty of sun. Let the ground heat up. And just before that really cold weather comes in, before you feel the temperature drop at dusk, trap that heat with a good box. Put a blanket over it if you like. That's very simple to do. You know, if you've got corn, that's a lot harder, right? And I don't know how you planted your corn. If you planted it in rows, you planted it. But here's a simple thing to do. Now, if you've got a whole field of corn, you got a problem. But if I had planted some corn in hills, which is how I recommend homeowners planting their corn. We can talk about what that means later. Or if I had planted it in short rows, I might take leaves, just find a bag of leaves. And the corn shouldn't be knee high. I hope it's more like calf high right now at most. Just throw the leaves over it. Let it grow up through it. It'll be fine. Same with potatoes. You've planted your potatoes. You got lots of potatoes coming up through it. Boy, tomatoes love this. They love this. Take a bunch of leaves, dump it right on top of the leaves. The potato leaves. So just take a bunch of oak leaves or whatever you got, dump it right on top of those potato leaves. They'll do great. They love it. They'll grow right through it. That'll be fine. That's all the protection you need. You can't find a box, just put a sheet over your stuff. Put a sheet over it. That may protect a lot of things. That'll protect a lot of things. One of the other issues we've got right now, folks, is cold winds. And the winds can really draw the heat off of a plant and draw the moisture out of a plant for a lot of reasons, because moisture is not moving through the plant very well when temperatures get cold. Protect those plants from those winds the best you can. Sometimes it helps just to put up a tarp or a sheet behind. If you've got your tomatoes in a cage already, you can wrap that cage. You hear what I'm saying? Wrap the cage with a sheet. That'll work really well. Some of you have walls of water. They work really well. It's all pretty easy to do. It's really easy to do, but you just have to think about it. You have to be ready. Look, Keith, you got those potatoes coming up. That's great. You did a great job. But one of the things you want to do is you want to think about protecting those potatoes, because even though they like cold weather, they don't like freezing weather. So put some leaves over those potatoes. They're going to do just fine. Your azaleas, your camellias, I think everything's going to be fine like that. They're all going to be fine. Even your citrus will be fine through these kind of temperatures. If they're already in flower, and some of those flowers may be damaged. So one of the things you want to do, if you've got citrus that are already in flower or that have new leaves, throw a sheet over it. Just throw a sheet over it. That's all it takes. It'll help protect it through these cold temperatures. Lots to think about on this Joe Kane Day as this Coles bell comes up. Just something we want to anticipate so that we don't have to rearrange our plans for spring. Hey, give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yes, sir. I'm doing my best not to let this weather rearrange my spring. I'm making it work. I'm thinking about it. You know, spring is always this fragile time of year. It's what spring is about. Spring isn't about summer temperatures every day. It's about sort of this transition from winter weather to summer weather. It starts on or about February 15th, February 20th. People all over the world, when they have spring, if they have a spring, and there are many kinds of springs, they develop in different ways in different places. If they have a spring, one of the things they have to be prepared for is that it can be a little unstable, a little unsteady. And so you have to be prepared to set it up so that your plants don't suffer the consequences. Feel free to give me a call this morning, 251-343-0106. And let's talk about your plants. Let's talk about whether there's a problem that they face as this cold weather comes in. We've got Joe Kane Day going on right now. I know there's already people headed downtown. The mist of Mardi Gras is very much with us. Boy, we've had a lot of mist, isn't that right, Tony? A lot of mist this spring. It could get a little too mysterious for some folks as the mist goes on and as it develops. It's one of the really telling signs that spring is here in Mobile are those frequent mists, the mists that occur most mornings, most afternoons, and sometimes during the entire day. What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. The water coming down into Mobile Bay, it's still cold. It's still got a little bit of winter in it. It's still probably too cold to swim in if you like comfortable water temperatures. But the warmth from the Gulf of Mexico is running up. It's running right up over the bay, and as the two converge, you get these mists. They spread out over Mobile, but that temperature difference. That temperature difference is what spring is all about. Taxman, spring is like a new bride, unsettled. Well, I appreciate that. That's about right. You have to watch for it. You have to be prepared for it. That's what we talk about. If you wait for spring to be over, now there's a problem. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, I'm going to wait until the weatherman in New York tells me that I can plant. Well, spring will be over because that'll be April 15th, and our spring will be over. And here's the problem. Your plants don't have time to develop so that you can pick them in May and June, July. July, folks, July in Mobile ain't July in Michigan. It's a lot different. The night temperatures are very high. A lot of plants don't perform when temperatures get that high in July and when it starts raining every day and when it's cloudy during the day, too. It gets to be a big problem. Lots of issues. So there it is. Things to think about. We're preparing you by getting you ready to plant. There's some cold temperatures coming. If you're listening now, please pay attention. Please watch the weather. Because, when you call me next week, I'm going to tell you, well, I don't know what to tell you. Your tomatoes are dead. Because you didn't pay attention. Let's just pay attention. Doesn't take a lot of work. It's very simple to do right now. Let's think about how to do it. So feel free to give me a call. Rusty over in Moss Point has sent me a picture, and we're seeing these bloom a whole lot, and it's worth talking about them. They're Loropetalums, Chinese witch hazel. The Loropetalum, Chinese witch hazel. It's a very interesting shrub. A lot of people plant them as dwarf shrubs that are about knee-high or waist-high. They will not stay that way, folks. There are some, most of those cultivars are truly large cultivars. They're actually trees, and they're beautiful as trees. They're beautiful as large shrubs. Loropetalums, Chinese witch hazels, beautiful things right now. Little thread-like petals. Thin petals all over that form a mass that is just this incredible, what, how do you describe it? Pink fuchsia something. But it vibrates in the landscape. It can be quite beautiful. Phil, you tell me we got a caller. I'm listening. Hey, who's out there? Betty?
Good morning, Ms. Finch. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good to hear from you.
I had a question about native azaleas, just general care. We have a number of them on our property. We have a few acres, and mostly they're kind of under tall pine trees and probably about 20 years old or so.
Yeah, perfect place for them. Have you seen any problems with them?
Not really, other than that some of them get a little tall and lanky and leggy looking.
Yes. So here's the thing. We want to give them as much sunlight as we can. Are the pine trees? Do you know whether they're loblolly or longleaf? Do you know what kind of pine trees?
I believe they're longleaf. I can't tell you that for sure. They're very very tall.
Very tall. That's perfect. So that's good. And you know, one of the interesting things when it comes to shade, one of the worst problems is not the shade that's high up above, straight overhead. It's the shade on the sides. So watch for that, because it's that there's a lot of light that comes in from the east and the west, and a lot of light, particularly in the morning, up until 11 o'clock. That may be the most important sunlight for plants, is the light between 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning, and as much of that light as they can get, the better off they are. So that's a very important light. So watch for the edges to make sure that your plants are getting a lot of light around the edges. Okay.
Well, there's not a lot we can do really, because unless we wanted to remove pine trees, which I don't. Now sometimes they come down on their own, but
that's okay. So one of the great things about longleaf. In a longleaf forest is that light seems to come from everywhere, because the light, their limbs are so high that the light comes in very well from the sides. So if they're longleaf, you're probably getting pretty good side light. So everything is perfect. What do you need to take care of them? Well, here's a really important thing. Most azaleas regenerate from the base. So as those stems get older, Some of those taller stems, they die back. So what you want to do is encourage as much growth from the base as you can. Right, the sprouts that come from the roots. This isn't true for all plants, but for plants like azaleas, you want those to come from the roots, and you want new sprouts coming up from the roots. Are you by chance trimming back any sprouts that come from low down on the plant?
No. We basically have kind of left them to do their thing. I wondered, should I be fertilizing them or pruning them maybe a little bit?
It certainly helps to fertilize. It may help to prune, but pruning is a very important exercise. When you prune, don't be careful not to over prune these guys.
I wouldn't do that to these, believe me.
Yeah, sometimes it helps. On some very old plants, and you'll send me some pictures and let's talk about it. On very old plants, it can help to prune back the two or three tallest stems and prune them all the way back to the ground, or at least back to about 6 to 12 inches from the ground. and that allows other sprouts to come up. But before we do that, Betty, send me pictures of those azaleas and the ones that are very likey so that we can look at them and talk about them. And let's do that. To send me a picture, all you have to do is send it to this phone number. Just take a picture of it with your phone, and you can send it to this phone number. I can look at it here on the screen, and we can talk about how to do that and whether it really needs pruning.
Well, and on the fertilizer, what would you say? We basically what we have used is once in a while some cottonseed meal.
And that is all you ever need to use on those guys. They'll be just fine. You don't need any lime. You don't need any phosphorus or potassium or anything special. Cottonseed meal is perfect for those native azaleas. It's just perfect.
And they've just started blooming in the last couple of days, and most of them are blooming right now.
Oh, wow. So they're pretty early this year, aren't they?
Very much so.
Yeah. So that's good. That's good. That's beautiful. I'd love to see pictures of them.
Well, I'll try to do that.
You need to send me pictures anyway, just so I can enjoy them. And two, send me some pictures so I can see the whole plant and we can determine whether we really need to prune.
And it was interesting you were talking about Laura Petalum, because I've just planted about 18 of them.
Yeah.
And trying to put them as a hedge on one side. And it's the big one, so they have plenty of room to grow. I just hope they get enough light where they are.
Yeah, they'll do well. They can bloom fairly well in some shade too.
And would you fertilize them with the same thing, cottonseed meal?
Cottonseed meal would be just fine, and they don't probably need a lot of fertilizer. They seem to do well without any, but you can certainly put cottonseed meal.
Well, our soil is kind of poor. We have a lot of sandy soil.
Yeah, that's right. So cottonseed meal would help. Hey, listen, one thing I say is cottonseed meal would be fine. Don't put it in the planting hole. Just put it on top. It'll be fine. And then put a mulch over it if you like. But don't mix that cottonseed meal in the planting hole.
Okay.
Is that good? Betty,
thank you. That's good. Thank you so much for your help.
All right. Oh, this is the Bamboula. What music? This is music for Joe Kane Day. Let me tell you why when we come back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yay, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. A good time to talk about Laura Petalums and azaleas. Listen, Laura Petalums, what a Petalums is what Steve Bender calls them. That's good. Laura Petalums. The purple bush, as Mr. Bender would say, The thing that's blooming right now with the little thin petals, you see it around a lot. It's not an azalea. It often has purple, dark burgundy or purple leaves with these pink fuchsia-looking little strippy purplish petals all over it. It's in bloom right now in a lot of places. It is a fine plant. It's a great plant. I think they do better as shrubs and as trees, large shrubs. There are some smaller varieties. Thomas, thank you for sending me some pictures. I'm not sure what variety is that Thomas sent me, but there are some smaller varieties, but smaller is a relative term, folks. The ones that are prostrate, the ones that spread out low to the ground that are 6 inches high, they haven't bloomed real well. They haven't been really great for bloom. And they can be hard to manage. The ones that are a little taller tend not to be knee-high. Let me give you a warning. They tend to be at least waist or chest-high by the time they're finished growing. So they're moderate-sized shrubs. Those are the smallest Laura Petalums that bloom well. Most Laura Petalums that you buy are actually going to be 5 to 6 foot shrubs or even 12-foot shrubs. 12 feet. That's twice as tall as a tall person. Okay, let's just put that in context. Them's a big bushes. So don't plant them right close to the house. Now, David, is that not a great segue for dealing with your particular problem here? Bushes next to the house, azaleas next to the house. And David's aren't particularly close, but they're close enough that his insurance man said you got to trim those azaleas back. Now, I'll tell you, I think the insurance man's full of it, but that's okay. I may know him. I may know him, and that's all right. Is David calling in? Is David on the line, Phil?
Yes, Phil, I am.
Yes, there you are.
The insurance company came back in the wintertime in November, actually in the end of October, early November, when I was on vacation and did an inspection, and he said I needed to trim those azalea bushes back or he wouldn't renew my policy this coming up here in March. And I told him I wasn't going to cut those bushes back because I didn't get to trim them last summer until they set bloom this year. Well, they're now in full bloom, and my question is, if I go ahead and trim them back now, will it do any permanent damage to the bush?
No, but you miss the blooms, and that's kind of a shame. No, it'll be fine. This is a fine in fact, during bloom may be one of the best times to cut them back from a plant perspective, but it doesn't hurt the plant at all to cut them back. It's just that, well, it's too bad you missed the blooms. And can you wait a little while?
I mean, the renewal's coming up in probably the latter part of March, so I could probably wait a week, but I've been getting plenty of pictures to be able to enjoy the blooms through pictures.
Wait a week. Wait a week.
Okay.
Enjoy the blooms. They'll look good next week, I think. Hey, so, David, here's the thing. Can I ask you, if you don't mind, can I ask you why he thought that these azaleas were a problem?
Your guess is as good as mine because I'm not even insured for against theft. I guess I shouldn't be saying that on the radio, but I guess he assumes that they're a problem because they're so tall, people can hide behind the bushes while they're trying to break into my house, I guess.
You know, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
And I agree with you. Since, before you let me go, I do have a question about my blueberry bushes and this cold snap coming up. Do I need to wrap up my new blueberry bushes that I planted this just about a month and a half ago?
No, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Now, if no, and you may lose some blooms, but that's okay. A little bit of bloom thinning probably won't hurt on young plants, and so you'll be fine. I wouldn't cover them at all. I would just I'd let them hang out, and they'll be just fine. Hey, David, one thing I'll tell you. I mean, I can't really tell you what his issue is, which is it's really dumb. It irritates me that he would do this, but these are big azaleas, and they are close to the house. And I don't think it's a real problem in terms of anybody. In fact, I'm sure it's not a problem in terms of anybody breaking in. But if you wanted to move them farther away from the house, you know, one of the things you can do is layer them. Take some of those branches, save a few branches, lay them out into the yard, cover those branches so that you can move the azaleas a little farther away from the house. Some termite companies worry about bushes being too close to the house because they say it provides a ladder for the termites. I'm not sure how big a deal that is, but I'm willing to listen. That's at least a reasonable argument. So, yeah, maybe. So if you wanted to move them away from the house, you could do that.
I don't want to move them away from the house. I like them exactly where they are. And when it comes to termites, the vines that was growing all over the back of the house and the side of the house would have been a bigger problem for the termites than the azalea
bushes. Right. So who knows what this guy is? I mean, I just hate that you have to go through with this insurance renewal. I don't want to ask the company. That irritates me, though.
It irritates me, too, but, you know, that's the problem of being an adult. Sometimes you got to do stuff that irritates you.
I guess so.
Have a good one, Bill.
I'm glad you're adjusted to being an adult, David. It's good to hear from you. So there it is. Hey, Taxman, are you still out there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
How you doing?
Fine. Look, that was really encouraging about the lady with the native azaleas. They are so beautiful.
Yeah.
Mine, I got sandy soil also, but mine are heavily budded, but they'll probably be blooming in the next 10 days. Now, I'd like to pass on something to her. How I propagate mine is this. When you got a big, heavy clump, I take out the very tallest cane, I'd say, or whatever you want to call it, and cut it back about 12 inches from the ground. And then when it sprouts, I bend those sprouts over into a gallon or two-gallon container, scrape the bark, and root it. And they root real, real good that way, Bill. So I'd encourage you. I've got the orange and the bronze. There's so many different colors and shades, but since she's got a good area to grow them, I would recommend and encourage her just to keep propagating them, okay?
All right, that sounds really good.
Okay.
And that's perfect. That's perfect. Thank you, Tax Man. So there it is. And, if I had some azaleas to propagate, I'd do just exactly what Tax Man did. And I think that's really smart. What you do is you hear what he's saying? Good advice. Cut that azalea back. Cut the tallest stem back. And that lowers the height. So this is a Betty, this is a good opportunity. If we have to cut those azaleas back, I'm not sure we do, but if we do, cut them back, they're going to sprout from the base. All that stem is going to start sprouting. And you can take some of those young stems and lay them over into a container and propagate more of them, create more of those identical to the mother. It's very easy to do, really a fun thing to do. One of the great ways of propagating native azaleas. Ronnie is sending me a question this morning asking me about finding Pride of Mobile. It's a very interesting question. Pride of Mobile is an old azalea cultivar that goes by the old name, Elegans Superba. Somebody in Mobile decided, I bet I could sell a lot more of these in Mobile if I change the name from Elegans Superba to Pride of Mobile. And they did. And this happened back early, probably in the late 19th and early 20th century. So those azaleas, Pride of Mobile, have been pretty popular around Mobile. They're actually a couple of different kinds. There are actually maybe a couple of different kinds of azaleas that are called Pride of Mobile, maybe more than two. And they're a little different in how they perform. I think maybe one of them is a better performer than the other here, but that's okay. Martin Vandergeesen, one of the most respected nurserymen in the area, one of the most knowledgeable nurserymen about azaleas, and we should probably have him on, except it's Joe Kane Day. we should probably have Martin on. Maybe next week we'll talk about this and where to get some of these. But yes, I would say some of the local, surely, some of the locally owned nurseries will have this. So we talk about our locally owned nurseries and Ronnie, it depends on where you live as to which nursery I send you to. But there's any of our locally owned nurseries should have Pride of Mobile, or they should be able to get it from Martin Vandergeesen, who I know is propagating Pride of Mobile along with a lot of others. The Pride of Mobile that Martin propagates is probably the one that does the best, that has the fewest disease problems. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Is Gene still on? Yeah, so we're fixing to have to take a break, but as soon as we come back, we'll talk to Gene. Gene, if you can hold on for just a second, because we need to do that. But Ronnie, next week we're gonna be calling back. I know that Pride of Mobile, by the way, will be available at the Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale, which is coming up March 15th. Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale will have it. But I think our locally owned nurseries will have it as well. A-Bloom, certainly I would call A-Bloom, check to see if they don't have it. If they don't have it, they can order it from Martin Vandergeesen. They'll probably be glad to do it for you. We'll be back. Hey, Ronnie, that picture you sent me, that's not Pride of Mobile, I don't think, by the way. Give me a call. We'll be back.
Me and my best friend Lillian and her blue tick hound dog Gideon, sitting on the front porch, cooling in the shed, singing every song the radio played, waiting for the Alabama sun to go down to red dirt girls in a red dirt town, me and Lillian.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yay, yes, sir. I love seeing those pictures of azaleas in bloom. Ronnie, I think that may be one of my favorite. Ronnie sent me a picture of an azalea. Ronnie's looking for the Pride of Mobile. But he sent me a picture of an azalea that's quite beautiful. In bloom, it's hard to tell, right? Because these pictures aren't color corrected, and it's a little hard to tell. But that looks like Kissimmee, a very old one of my favorite, maybe my favorite of all the southern Indians is Kissimmee. It may be Formosa, but it kind of looks like Kissimmee. A beautiful thing, a cousin of Formosa. Beautiful, beautiful azalea. A really nice picture. It is pretty, Ronnie. So Billy Bob in Fairhope sent me a picture of his Satsuma, his rescue Satsuma. I'm not sure what that means, but it's interesting. If that's that little clay pot, it looks kind of, it needs to go out. I think that needs to go in the yard, Billy Bob. It has a little balls on it. Those little balls are flowers. It's about to flower, and that's what those little balls are. They're going to open up into flowers, So there it is. It was advertised as Formosa. So Ronnie's got a really pretty picture of Formosa. It's color gets a little distorted on the screen sometimes. Hard to tell. I have two pictures of Formosas on my screen here, and they couldn't be farther apart in terms of color. That's just what happens with cell phones and putting on. Hey, Gene, let's talk about your citrus.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm listening to you.
Hey, y'all, look here. I need some information on citrus trees full bloom out there, and I need to cover them up.
Oh, man, yeah. So tell me, Gene, how far out of town are you?
I'm in my municipal park.
By Municipal Park. You're pretty close. And so that's going to be one of the areas. It's going to be right on the border. I think, you know, if I could, I would cover the plants for Monday morning and Tuesday morning, just if you could. And it doesn't, listen, Gene, it doesn't take a lot. If you've got a blue tarp, that'll be fine. Just throw it over them, and don't tie it in. Yeah, that's right. So you remember, don't tie it in.
Lemons have got this in full bloom, and I got a grapefruit plant in full bloom. Of course, my Satsumas, they bloom later, so they hadn't bloomed yet. But anyway,
I'll just
cover them up. I don't need all of them anyway. I can't eat all of them anyway, but I won't save some of them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And remember, it's not you're not keeping the cold out. You're holding the heat in.
Right.
So make sure that blanket, the tent, covers as much ground as possible.
All right.
You sound like you're in good shape, but I would cover them. I think we could lose some citrus blooms, particularly.
Well, I don't care if I lose some, but I just don't lose all of them.
That's right, and I can't tell you what percentage you're going to lose. You know, it could be one of those years. It could be one of those years. This happens to me a lot. One side of my bush will be full of fruit, and the other side of my bush has no fruit at all.
Right.
Because of the way the wind is moving. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
So
well,
it can make that much difference.
Cover them up then.
Yep, sounds good, Gene. Thank you.
Bye, bud.
Yeah, so, folks, it is something to think about. You know, this was going to be a great year for citrus, a great year for bananas. I still think it can be. I still think it will be for most folks. But if you're living in West Mobile, if you're living away from the city, if you're living out in more of an area with it that's relatively open, if you're away from the bay is a huge influence, huge stabilizing influence. As I remind people, if you live in Fairhope, west of 98 in Fairhope, you are usually about 4 or 5 degrees warmer than areas in Fairhope that are out by the Walmart. It's that different. It's that different. And it makes a huge difference. And it's something we have to think about as we're preparing for cold like this. Some cold spells sneak in, and it seems to be cold everywhere. There have been a few times, and they've been kind of weird, freaky times. I hope this isn't one of those times, honestly. But there's been freaky times when it's been colder near the bay than it was in West Mobile. It's hard to explain why those things happen, but they do happen. I think this is going to be pretty much a normal cold spell, I think. And I think it's going to get colder as you get progressively farther away from Mobile Bay. So, up around Citronelle, I would watch for it. I would say the chances of a frost or a freeze around Citronelle are very high for Tuesday morning at least, maybe Monday morning as well. So watch for that. Once this cold spell has passed, things should be just fine. I think we're going to be just fine. I don't anticipate. It would be very freakish. It would be very unusual to have. It has happened, but it would be very, very unusual to have a cold spell in April that does damage. So we just got to get past this little hump. It's something we all anticipated. It's something we all knew about. It doesn't take a lot of work. Gene's got it figured out. He's got a tent city in his backyard. He got tents propped up over some of his citrus so he can protect the blooms. With things like blueberries and other things, I wouldn't worry about them. I wouldn't worry about that because they're gonna take care of themselves. They're used to blooming with these late cold fronts coming in. They're gonna be fine. It's just the things. It's the tropical plants, like citrus. It's a subtropical plant that isn't used to these kind of late cold spells. So those blooms are gonna be very fragile. Very, very fragile, and they might need some protection. Your tomatoes need protection, but a lot of other things, they don't. They may not need protection. So Ron did send me a picture of the old Pride of Mobile, and boy, it looks like now that Ron looks like a Pride of Mobile. It is. How do you quite describe that color? It's just Pride of Mobile pink. Pride of Mobile pink. It's really hard to describe. It's more magenta than pink. That's kind of the typical Pride of Mobile. And there it is. It's in bloom. We're gonna find. If anybody's listening from A Bloom or from Old Time, let me know if you've got any Pride of Mobiles because Ronnie's looking for them. I know that they'll be available at the Mobile Botanical Gardens plant sale almost certainly in March. So there you go. Would I do any planting this weekend? I don't think I would. I don't think I would. Not of vegetables in the garden. I think I would hold on till we get past this cold spell. I think next weekend's going to be a great time for planting tomatoes and other things. Just hold off this weekend. No need to endanger those. Let them get a little bit bigger. As soon as this cold spell is over, it's going to warm up quickly. Everything will be fine for your tomatoes. Then it'll be a great time to put them in the ground. It wouldn't have hurt if you put them in the ground a week ago or 2 weeks ago. It's a great time. You just need to do a little bit of protection. If you love tomatoes and you're into getting as long a tomato harvest as possible, the smartest thing to do is to invest in something called a wall of water. A wall of water. They're just these little plastic cones that you fill them up with water around the edges, and you put them around your tomatoes, and you can just laugh when we get these kind of cold spells. I mean, it would take temperatures in the lower 20s, even in the lower 20s, I think it would protect tomatoes. It does great. I keep those wall of waters on until about, let's see, maybe March 15th. Take them off March 15th. Let them get used to the normal weather. Have them ready in case it does get cold again. And or at least protect them from the winds after March 15th in the Mobile area. And David, David is going to put aspersions on my character. Hey, we'll be back right after the news, and I'm going to be listening for the weather.